Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Novice Hunter Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Belknap. Guys and gals, today we are so excited to bring you this episode when it's only me and Aaron. We are talking about hunting essentials. This is specifically geared for maybe first-time hunters, but also it's also geared towards every hunter, and the fact that these are basic requirements that you need to even go hunting. We also talk about what we're excited about for this upcoming season, our goals. Cousin Idaho, the season starts August 1st. So we're getting really close to our big hunt in September, and we're really excited to share that and document with you, that with you guys. So enjoy the listen. Remember to like and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and on other podcast platforms. Leave us a rating and review. That'll help us to reach further and help spread our message to those who are in need of this education. So go ahead and enjoy this episode, guys, and tell us what you think. You can actually, if you use the Anchor app, you can actually call in. And we can, if you recall, call in, we can actually post your recording on this episode, on another episode. So I encourage you to download the Anchor app, find the Novice Hunter Podcast, and then make a call in, and we will actually publish your call on this podcast. So go ahead, call in, let us, we want to hear from you guys. All right, everyone, enjoy. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Novice Hunter Podcast. We have just me, your host, Jeff Belknap, and Aaron Dixon today.
Hello to everybody.
So, in Idaho, the hunting season begins actually tomorrow, August 1st. If you want to go for cow elk, is there deer available or is it just elk right now?
There's some controlled limited entry hunts that you can hunt different species, but I know there is some over-the-counter hunts for elk that begin tomorrow.
Right.
They're limited in access, and they're kind of a depredation hunt. They're kind of to help the farmers that are being impacted by the herds maybe coming into their fields, and so it is limited, but... Limited as in... Maybe the animals you'll find. There may or may not be animals. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's a depredation tactic that the Idaho Fish and Game has adopted to help limit the impact that the herds have on the farmers.
So you had the opportunity to go scout where we're going to be hunting this coming September.
Yep.
And you'll be making several trips there, it sounds like, in the next 6 weeks.
Yep. I have an antelope tag that opens on the 15th of August, so... Just about 2 weeks from today.
That's archery, right?
Archery. Archery antelope.
Nice.
So I went up this last weekend. I started scoping the area out to see what I could find for animals. Found some antelope, found some mule deer, some elk, some moose.
It was pretty cool what you found. Those pictures that you took were really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a blast just to get out there and see the animals. That's part of the fun. It
makes us really excited, that's for sure.
Gets me so ready.
Yeah. So on this, on today's podcast, you know, we usually have a guest. We usually have someone we like to talk to, but today we want to go over, since it's tomorrow is the first day of hunting season, we want to kind of present an episode where to make sure you have, for all the beginner hunters out there, for those who are, you know, obviously newer into hunting, we want to kind of put out a checklist, if you could say, of things that you absolutely have to have before you go hunting. This is more of like a legal, as far as hunting legally, not so much as in supplies and gears that you need. But, so we wanted to just, kind of bring up a conversation about certain, documentation you could call.
Documentation, and every state is going to be different.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
You're going to have to verify what is required in your state. We're very familiar with Idaho. What you have to abide by might be a little bit different.
Exactly. So when you take hunter's education,
they explain to you that, you know, they give you a list of regulations. In for Idaho, it's a big, I don't know, like a newspaper, basically, or like a magazine, yeah. More like a magazine catalog thing. And it's our responsibility as hunters to know the regulations and the rules. And like we're going to talk about later in our podcast, is that sometimes rules change and they're updated. So let's start with the beginning here. So first of all, obviously you need a hunting license no matter which state you're in. You know, this is very basic information, but like I was talking to my wife's brother, my brother, he's my brother-in-law, my sister's-in-law, fiance. So he's in Spanish, you would say cocuño. Anyway, he's from Idaho, but now he lives in Arizona because he's going to school there. He recently got a license there, a hunting license. He did not have to take hunter's education. All I did was just go to the fish and game office and ask for a license. And he just signed some papers and they gave it to him.
So had he ever taken hunter's education
before? From what I understand, no.
So just off the street.
Yep, just, but I could be wrong. He might have taken a hunter's education in Idaho, but I failed to ask him. But it sounded like he didn't have to do any prior preparation for it, which I thought was interesting.
Very.
And then that's if, you know, that's for any type of hunting. Then if you're going to be archery hunting, you need to get a bow hunter certification for Idaho. Again, we're talking strictly to Idaho. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if there's other regulations in other states as far as bow hunting.
I'm sure they're probably pretty close.
So in Idaho, that consists of signing up for a class, going to the class. I don't think I had to take a test. If I did, it was a few questions.
There is a test involved and a field day. So yeah. You can do it online, but then you still have to participate in the field day.
Right.
And that's where they're going to go through how to track an animal, shot placement. There is a test you take, but it's...
Right, again. Right. And that, from what I remember, yeah, there was a test at the end of the class, but it was a short test. So yeah. The end of the class, they give you a little business card size certification. And then next thing you need is the tag, the hunting tag of where you're going to be hunting. So I have yet to purchase mine. I know which ones I want. I'm going to buy an elk tag, a deer tag, and a bear tag. If I see any one of those three in the area that we'll be hunting,
I hope
to get one. Yeah, hope to get my this year. My goal, you know, I wanted to get a bull elk. I wanted to get a bull elk, and that's still a goal. But at this point, I'm like, I just want to get something this year. I want to get either if it's with a rifle and a bear, or if it's a bow with a deer or an elk. So that's my goal.
Well, where we're going to be headed, there it's primarily for elk, but there is a lot of deer in the area. And for the archery season, it is open to either sex deer, either sex elk, and there is bears in the area.
So my chances are a little better if I buy more tags.
A little better. Yep.
I was actually looking at the harvest stats on Fish and Game, and the odds are still like 5-1 for archery if you get a bull.
Yep.
I was looking at other areas and everything and try to compare, but the other ones had fewer hunters and higher success rate. I think that was because of the tags that were allowed to be, you know, there was only like, for example, Unit 4, which is in the northern Idaho, it had eight tags given, seven fulfilled. So, you know, that's 90%. So, it depends on different things. So, like I said, I just want to find something and hopefully be successful. Hopefully bring home something.
Well, and we're going to be hunting how most people hunt, over the counter, public land. I know different states have limited draws that you have to draw if you want to hunt. I know that other areas also have maybe limited access to public land. Idaho's one of the states. We have a lot of both of mm-hmm. those opportunities. A lot of public land, a lot of over-the-counter opportunities. You don't have to draw out for a tag. You can purchase one at Walmart the day of.
And another thing with Idaho is our non-resident tags are fairly cheap.
They're cheaper than a lot of states.
Yeah, which is it's about $400 for non-resident tag, plus your license, which is $30.
Well, no, for a non-resident hunting license, it's about a $150 just for your hunting license. And so our tags are a little bit cheaper.
But
you pay a little bit more. And
so it's pretty much sixes license. Then, as far as how much you're going to pay.
Yeah. Depending on what you, depending on where you're
going. And then you got to buy the tag on top of that. No, no, it depends on how many tags you buy, I guess.
I mean,
you have to buy. So if you buy an elk tag and then you buy a deer tag, both of them are $400 a piece, right?
I think the deer is about $100 cheaper.
Okay. So you're still a couple hundred dollars per.
Yeah.
So, like, if you guys have not watched Born and Raised on YouTube, you need to watch it. There's this, their YouTube channel, they're called Born and Raised Outdoors. They're a couple of friends from Oregon. And last year they did this thing called Land of the Free. And what they did was they basically went elk hunting for 50 days in five different states. And each time they went, they were on public ground. They were on, you know, they weren't going to ranches and paying big old dollars. They were hunting on public land. And so it was after I've been watching that the last month or two or so, and it's really inspired me to get out there and, you know, participate and really take advantage of these public lands that are, you know, just a couple hours from, I mean, they're right outside our city here in Idaho Falls.
So literally from where we live, just to put this in perspective, we're just over an hour to get into Montana. We're less than an hour to get into Wyoming, and those are public land opportunities. They're available to us in addition to what we have here in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's one of the, you know, as I listen to more, as I talk to more people about hunting, as I listen to more podcasts, you know, back east, there's a lot of private land hunting, which is, you know, that's just how it is. A lot of tree stand hunting, that's just how it is. And so, you know, when you come out west, you have to go find them a little bit more. And they have, obviously elk have, you know, they can cover 10 miles in a day very, very easily.
And the time it takes me to cover half a mile.
Exactly. I mean,
they move.
They're incredibly majestic animals, and they move incredibly well. So we talked about getting a tag and maybe a permit. What are some other necessities?
You have to know the rules and regulations.
Yes, that's the biggest one.
I mean, they are always changing, and they are very, for Idaho, they're very specific. If you're going to hunt a muzzleloader hunt, you have very specific requirements on what you can and cannot use. If you're going to hunt archery, once again, in Idaho, you are not allowed to use mechanical broadheads. It is fixed broadheads only. Everything is very, very specific to what you need.
And it's interesting. I went muzzleloader hunting a few years ago, and I was looking at the regs, and it says you have to have this type of flintlock or this type of what was it?
Your ignition system.
Ignition system has
to show the percussion cap.
That's right. Yeah, the percussion cap.
And you're limited to a percussion cap or a musket cap. You cannot use a shotgun primer. You cannot use anything other than either a flint, percussion cap, musket cap.
Right. Yep.
They're specific on that. And then the type of powders you can use. It has to be loose powder. No pellets. You cannot use a saboted bullet.
What's a saboted bullet?
Has a protective coat around it. It's like a little plastic jacket that goes around a bullet.
Okay.
And so the bullet is going to be smaller in diameter, but it's not going to touch your riflings as it goes through the bore.
So it's more accurate.
It is, potentially.
Potentially more accurate.
Potentially more accurate. In Idaho, you have to use 100% lead bullet.
Are there ones that are brass and lead?
Copper. You have the copper jacket of bullets, and that's a lot of the Sabas will use like a copper jacket bullet. They hold up better. Well, they can.
Right.
I mean, there's some benefits to leather, some benefits to copper, but in Idaho, for muzzleloader only, you cannot use, it has anything but 100% lead, loose powder, and traditional style percussion. Or flintlock.
Ignition
system, so. You can use a modern hunting rifle, but it has to be a number 11 percussion cap, and then, or musket, and then you just loose powder and lead.
And then in Idaho, there's actually a whole month of October for elk is for antlerless, I think.
In some parts of the state.
Is full and muzzleloader, and you can, the whole month, it's a general tag. You don't have to draw it.
Yep.
It's an over-the-counter tag.
And where we're going to be, our muzzleloader hunt is actually in end of November, 1st of December, if we wanted to go for muzzleloader for our area.
I thought it was the whole month of October.
That's another unit.
Oh, and I looked at it wrong. So yeah, this is where it becomes, you have to be very familiar with the area you're going to, the and the, you know, obviously the boundaries of it.
Very specific. Yep.
All right. So Aaron here had just was reading the, looking on the fishing game website, Idaho fishing game website, and he came upon some changes that, will they affect us? I don't know about these changes, so he's going to inform me as well, but.
So it's interesting. As a hunter, you're responsible to know the rules. The regulations are there, and if you get caught, they're very sympathetic. You'll get fined. You'll get ticketed. And most of these are going to just lead to a citation, but that's extra money. And so
and maybe even a license suspension.
Yeah, depending on what you're doing and mm-hmm. how you're doing it. So this is new. This is dated Friday, July 27th. Today is July 31st. And this is Idaho's response to preventing chronic wasting disease from entering Idaho. So they have decided, effective immediately, they are going to ban the import into Idaho of the carcass of any part of a wild deer, elk, or moose from another state, province of Canada, or country other than Canada with any documented case of chronic wasting disease. So then it gives some exceptions. This is why it affects us. Wyoming is an hour away. Montana is an hour from where we are. People hunt there all the time. Well, they have chronic wasting disease. They've had documented cases. So now,
what are some examples of chronic waste disease? What are some diseases you can name off?
Well, that is a disease.
Oh, that's just
that
it?
Is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, they go into like skin and bones. They start starving to death and acting crazy. Like, mm-hmm. It's like the mad cow disease for wild
animals. For wild game. Okay.
Yep. And so this is important because people go up there, they go hunting. Now you have to know what the specific rules are to bring that meat into the state. So if you're going to hunt out of the state and bring it into Idaho, and the state you're hunting in has had a documented case of chronic wasting disease, here's what you have to follow. The meat is okay to come into Idaho if it is cut and wrapped, if it's quartered and deboned, but does not include brain or spinal tissue. You can bring in edible organs, but not brains. You can bring in hides without heads. You can bring in the upper canine teeth, like the ivories.
The ivories.
Yep.
For elk.
You can bring in finished taxidermy, dried antlers, or a cleaned and dried skull or skull cap. So that right there is interesting. If you shoot a big animal that you want to mount, whether it's deer, elk, or moose in one of those states, you either have to have that skull completely cleaned before you bring it across the border, or you cut the cap off. So you needed to make some decisions ahead of time. What are you going to do? Are you going to do a European mount? Mm-hmm. If you are, you have to clean it before you bring it back into the state, or you risk being fined and penalized for that. If you're just going to do the skull cap, that's a little bit easier, but that limits what you're going to be able to do with it.
Explain a skull cap, because I'm not sure.
So,
or the terminology, at least.
Skull cap is where you just cut the top of the head off that holds the antlers.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, I see what you mean. So you just cut around basically the side, the antlers, and that's it.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. And so it's just a small piece of the skull and the antlers attached. If you want to do like a European mount with a full skull, you have to get the brain material out of the skull and right. clean up the skull before you bring it across.
And this is how can someone detect chronic wasting disease? Or is it you can't? This is a regulation that you can't do. Are you saying that
this is any animal?
Oh, any animal. So even if it doesn't have it.
Yep. You are testing. Idaho said if you hunt in a state like Wyoming, Montana, where they've had a documented case, you can't bring that animal into the state of Idaho with any sort of brain material or spinal column.
Okay, gotcha.
So if you're going to quarter it, that's fine. If you're going to pack out the head and you want to do taxidermy work on it, you need to cape it out, completely cape out the face, take the skull cap out, or you need to clean the whole skull before you bring it across the border. Now, that's not all. This kind of bothers me a little bit, more than a little bit probably. Their next law in this whole thing is they are banning the use of natural cervid, deer, elk, moose, etc., urine for hunting big game. This rule will immediately take effect. So, all those, when you go into a sporting goods store and you see all those lures and scents for deer and elk, those are now illegal in Idaho.
Hmm. So, if let's say, for example, Aaron and I are, let's say, for in a couple months, we want to, you know, we're looking for elk, and it's during the rut, and there's a certain...
You want to use urine to
urine as a for scent, as a scent for as like if you're you, if you were to use the urine as a like as if I was trying to be imitate a cow,
yeah,
right, to bring in a bull.
Maybe you'll want to splash it around a little bit around a wallow, put it on a bush. That'll when the elk come by, they'll stop and take a moment to sniff it, mm-hmm. to give you a chance to set up your shot. Maybe you want to put it on your boots as you're walking so that you take away your scent. Or help try to mask it with maybe the scent of a cow in heat or a doe in heat, depending on what you're hunting.
Right.
That is now apparently illegal.
Illegal in Idaho. So that takes effect tomorrow.
No, it takes effect 3 days ago.
Well, I guess 3 days ago. On the, when you're supposed to be hunting is tomorrow is when it opens.
But. Yep.
Interesting.
But, yeah, that's an interesting one to me because...
Have you used it before?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great attractant, and
I've never used it, so I don't have any experience with it.
Well, it has the pheromones in it from the wild animals that are typically does and cows in heat.
Right.
And it helps attract the animals. It can put them at ease if they think, if you're calling and then they can smell something like that from mm-hmm. a distance, maybe it'll put them at ease because it sounds and smells like
a real elk, or a real deer
or a real something.
Right.
And now,
it's illegal to do so.
Yeah. So, that just goes to the fact that just because you have a copy of the hunting regulations doesn't mean you're going to be...
You're 100% compliant.
Yeah.
That's why... Preventing
yourself from a citation. You have to log in now and electronically figure out what's acceptable, what's not.
Wow. Interesting. Because those prints, I think they don't... Because some of them say print for 2017, 2018, which means they're good for, you know,
right.
essentially 2 years. But just as you're showing here, that those are updated regularly.
This says this rule will immediately take effect. That's straight off their website.
Wow.
So, that...
Does that change our plans?
Not necessarily.
Our strategy? Does it change our strategy?
It might a little bit.
Hmm, interesting.
Because we're going to be in some open country. There's very well-used elk trails, and using those scents and attractants help maybe get that bull to pause for a moment.
Right.
It can do a number of things. Now, if you get caught with it, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you get fined. Interesting.
So, huh. I've seen guys online drinking the stuff. I don't recommend that.
What? You think if they drink it, they'll automatically emit the scent?
Who knows?
So this brings up another issue, maybe not issue, but a point of conversation. Back Midwest, back East, a lot of people bait for deer. You know, they actually have bait stations where they're raised, and, you know, the feed comes out and spreads out. Actually, I was just watching a video about this. For Hushin,
mm-hmm.
It was Eric Chesser. He was hunting access deer. And I don't know, like I have no experience with baiting any animal. So I don't have any, I guess I don't have any skin in the game, you could say, as far as an opinion for it. You know, if I went back east, I would like to give it a try, you know. If I was hunting whitetail from a tree stand, I would at least want to give it a try, or ground blind. So, I don't know. I'd like to give an opinion on it, but then again, I don't feel like I am justified in giving one.
I'll give an Idaho opinion.
Okay.
You can bait for black bear when you buy the permit.
Yep.
You cannot bait for deer, elk, moose, antelope, anything else in Idaho.
Right, just bear.
And so that includes throwing out apples, salt blocks, any minerals growing designated food plots, that is illegal in Idaho. If you get caught, you are going to go pay some hefty fines and possibly jail time, depending on how big of an operation it is. So that's probably why I don't have any experience in it myself.
Right.
Is because it's illegal in Idaho.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Because, you know, I hear... Like I said, I listen to a lot of podcasts because I'm trying to prepare myself the best I can for this coming hunting season. I'm determined. You know, I want to be successful. I want to have a lot of fun. I want to learn a lot. Because last year, oh, man, this close. Very close to getting my first animal, but
came short. So, I don't think I have anything against baiting deer, baiting elk, any of that. I think I'm going to say this. I'm going to leave that very open to the hunter discretion there. Because I'll be the first to admit, if I know there's animals going into private property, like up where I used to live, mm-hmm. there would be wild game that were going into orchards. And that's where they were feeding.
Right.
Well, they were crossing from public land to private land.
Private land, yep.
Well, being no dummy, you know where they're going to feed. You set up, you wait for them to make their move to either go to the property or coming out of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't say that that's necessarily baiting. Because,
no, but you know they're going to go.
But and that's what hunting is. You're mm-hmm. you're establishing the habits of animals, and then you're trying to be the predator and
right.
figure out where they're going between their bedding, their feeding, and watering routines, and cut them off.
Yep, and, I can see that. I mean, I've witnessed it personally when I remember a couple of years ago, we had just got done muzzleloader hunting, and we just went to the range just to go shoot. And there was deer all over. I mean, when the place where there was a lot of agriculture, so there was deer on the outskirts, you know, of these alfalfa fields. So, and you know, it could be a good chance for someone who's 10 years old or 11 years old getting their first doe or getting their first doe, they could, you know, they have a high success rate that way. So, I mean, I can see both sides of it.
Yep. Yep. And if you talk with the landowner, a lot of times they'll give you permission. If they're having problems with deer and elk always on their property, destroying crops and costing them money, they're a lot more open to somebody being genuinely ethical about their decision to hunt to help the farmer out and also utilize some meat.
And actually, my, you know, in Idaho, you can actually get on a depredation list.
Yes, you can.
And later, it's the ones that I've had experience with or that I know of were later season. Like, I think the season would have been November and December if you were picked. So, I mean, those are available. I'm not sure what the status is in other states, but I know those exist in Idaho.
Yep.
And those are, just like Aaron said, those are a benefit of the hunter and the farmer. So.
And typically, they're a meat hunt. You aren't allowed to hit or go after anything with antlers or
horns.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it's usually just cows, sorry.
Yep, cows or does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you usually don't go for males, which I thought was interesting.
Well, they don't want people treating that as a trophy hunt. They want
okay, I see.
You have a very specific mission. You're trying to haze animals away from the property, thin the herds out, because then that's going to leave more food available for the other animals to survive on, and just create less conflicts between the farmers and the animals.
Right. Interesting.
So, reduces the competition.
What?
It reduces the competition. I mean, in the wintertime, if you get a couple feet of snow, the animals group together. What limited food sources there are, they're going to fight over them. They're going to be burning extra calories. And sometimes, by taking a few animals out, you're preserving the rest of the herd.
Yeah, and you might, though, some of those, if you were not to do that, you know, you risk greater loss over the wintertime.
Correct.
As far as elk or deer population.
Yeah, if one gets sick, they spread it to everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's the only type of hunting that I've ever done elk hunting that I've done is usually later season, and it's, you know, there's a little bit of snow on the ground, and they're all herded. It's mainly a lot of cows and a couple of satellite bulls is all. But, talking about all this just makes me so excited.
it's almost go time. It's the season.
And showing me and you showing me those pictures, man, that didn't help.
Yeah, no, it was a blast. But I didn't see anybody else out there, so it was just me sitting up on a hill just finding animals. They didn't know I was there, so they were just living their lives, and it was interesting for me just to sit and watch them do their thing without any pressure.
And it's interesting, I've never, this is like they call scouting season, you know, you're taking hikes, you're doing overnight trips, you're backpacking, you're checking trail cameras. I've never participated in a scouting season ever, and so the only scouting I've ever done is usually just glassing when I get there. And that's, you know, that's hard hunting if you do it that way. So the fact that Aaron went up and saw some animals where we're going to go is fantastic.
Well, it's like a dog on point. It puts you in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't guarantee anything, but at least you know kind of a better idea of where you want to start.
Speaking of dogs, I have a bird dog. This will be her second hunting season. Last year, I only got to go once pheasant hunting on a wildlife management area. So this year, you know, I've been very lazy in training her how to get birds as far as retrieve birds. She can find them just fine. The breed that she is, she's a German short hair. She can find them easy. She can find them easy. But the problem is making her stop when a bird flushes. So that's something I need to work on. But that's another thing, you know, maybe another podcast we can talk about is bird hunting. Do you ever duck hunt?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of duck hunting, a lot of goose hunting.
Oh, really?
Loved it. And that's something I wanted to get back into this year. So,
is that why you're looking for a dog?
Partly. And I don't want to go after pheasants. I mean, I used to do a lot of bird hunting, so I'd love to get back into that. Just it expands your seasons, expands your opportunities. So those typically kick off here in September, and they'll go through through January. Yep.
For ducks?
Depends on the – I think ducks are October, but here in September, I think we have
– probably quail or something.
Grouse, quail. Oh, doves. Doves open September 1. Actually, doves – if they're Eurasian collared doves, they're open right now.
Oh, really?
So you got doves that are opening. Pheasants are October. Chukar and partridge. I used to do a lot of chukar and partridge. Those typically open in September.
Where I've only gone for pheasant hunting is just a wildlife management area up just, 20 minutes from here.
That's a great place to find them. You got a lot better success than I'll go into there.
I have yet to find some. I have yet to find any. So, but I've only been there 2 or 3 times in my whole life, so.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of you who are not familiar with a wildlife management area, they stock this area twice a week full of birds. I'm not sure how many birds they release, how much time they stock it, but there are usually birds available.
Yep.
But just like other, you know, hunting big game, you got to know the regulations. Like, for example, if we go and hunt on that specific wildlife management area, the shooting hour starts at 10. You have a certain bag limit you can take. I think it's two a day, and you get a permit, and you can have a total of 6 birds on your permit. But once you can fill it up, you can get another one. But so that's another thing just to make sure you're up to speed on is regulations for all the type of hunting you do and fishing.
Yep. Every species, every type of weapon you want to use, at least for Idaho, is very regimented.
Yeah. And I've heard of, you know, I was talking to a guy on a previous podcast. His name was David Garber. He's from Pennsylvania. He was talking about, I told him that, you know, in Idaho, we're only allowed to use fixed blade. And he was like, really? Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, you can use mechanical here in Pennsylvania, and I'm sure that's mechanical is common in a lot of states.
Yep.
Just not in Idaho.
And I won't say that I disagree with that ruling in particular. Now I know that there's some good mechanical broadheads out there, but typically our animals are a little bit bigger than your average whitetail. in a lot of parts of the country. I mean, elk are thick, tough animals. Bears aren't necessarily tough, but you generally want to make a good shot on the bear. Nobody wants to chase a wounded bear.
Right.
Mule deer, they're a little bit bigger. Not extremely tough animals, but they are a little bit bigger in body size. And so I think that's probably the reason behind it. And who knows? Those rules are always have the opportunity to change. So.
Right, right. Do you fish, Aaron?
I used to do a lot of fishing.
Fishing, hunting, all of it.
Yep. And so actually, my wife and I were just talking. I think this week we're going to start taking the kids out fishing.
Well, I took my daughter last week, and she actually did really good.
How did she do? Did she catch?
She didn't
anything?
Catch anything.
Okay.
This is her second time fishing. I took her when she was two. She's four now, and you know she has a little a Frozen. You know, like that has the button and a little reel on it. And it's like, it's probably
Disney character.
Yeah.
Fishing pole.
It's maybe a yard long, maybe 3 feet long. But, you know, I put a hook on there and I put a little weight on there and a little bobber. I put a little marshmallow on there because we didn't have any worms. I should have grabbed some worms, but we didn't have any. But she liked putting the marshmallow on the hook.
That's probably easier for kids anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't move and it's not as slimy, obviously. But she was casting pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, she was just, you know, casting it out there. I told her to reel it in slow. She reeled it in pretty slow. But yeah, no bites, nothing.
So as a kid, where I would go hunting with my uncle, we always packed fishing poles because we knew if the deer hunting wasn't good in October, the fishing was phenomenal.
The fish was probably pretty good.
So and that's, you know.
Is there any, there's not any, there's only streams where we're going, right? Or is there a river?
But yeah, there's river. And I think there is fish in it.
Well, I'm going to bring my fly rod then.
Absolutely. It's, yeah.
Because we can go fishing in the middle of the day.
Yep, absolutely. And so I love just being outside. And as a kid, it's a great time with the kids. You teach them things that they aren't going to learn sitting at home playing the Nintendo.
Definitely.
So.
Man, I'm excited for the fall. I'm excited.
Well, it's here. It's go time.
I know, man. I'm like, now I got to get in shape. Now I got to work harder, or I got to run a little bit more or walk a little bit more.
Yep.
This is coming up so fast, so close. But, I'm stoked, man. I'm excited.
It'll be a good time.
So we want to hear all of your stories as well.
Yes.
We here at the Novice Hunter Podcast, we like to share other experiences, you know, your guys' experience is, and you can send us a direct message on Instagram, or I actually have on my Instagram, I also have an email link you can add. You can send me an email. We have a couple of guests lined up for you guys that we're pretty excited about.
I'm excited to talk to them.
Yeah,
you're gonna be fun.
We have a couple of them, and we won't divulge who they are right now, but one of them is, I've talked to him a little bit already on the phone, and he is extremely enthusiastic about elk, so it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him. Right now it's a little difficult maybe to find people because, you know, other hunters are getting ready for hunting season, so we're going to try to do a podcast a week. But that might not be the case every time.
It's going to start getting busy for everybody. If you're listening to this podcast and you're having the itch to go hunting, it's going to get busy for everybody. So, and that's going to be fun. Let everybody start voicing their stories of their successes and their failures, you know, just maybe some ideas that they want to put into practice and didn't get to do it this year. But it's encouraging to listen to and a good time for everybody.
Yep. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. I have Facebook, but my wife just tags me in funny memes all the time on Facebook. I don't get on Facebook as much as I used to. And even then, when I would get on Facebook, it was just scrolling.
Yep.
And I know Facebook has you know, obviously huge reach and everything, but I prefer Instagram. It's just easier for me to use. And you can find it at @the_novice_podcast. And Aaron, what's your Instagram?
I am at adixon338.
That's Dixon with an X.
Yep. I was just going to spell it. ADIXON338. And I'll just be honest. I haven't been very good at social media at all. So this is a huge learning curve for me. So, but I made my first post this last week, and there's going to be a lot more that are going to be coming.
And we're hoping to, you know, we want you guys to follow us and enjoy this journey with us. You know, we have plans to record our hunting, but at the same time, I'm really new at recording and hunting, so we'll do what we can. And
I'm just a terrible guy at filming, so
we are just perfect right now.
If you want amateur level, you're gonna get it in its greatest form.
And you know, I could probably edit better than I can film, which isn't saying much more. But so, you know, we want to share with you guys. We want to show you that there are public lands available to you. That there are, you know, even if it's not hunting, even if it's not fishing, even if you just want to go hiking, camping, just
get outside,
yeah. Enjoy it. You know, it's something that, you know, we need to teach the next generation that video games aren't the best thing in the world.
And yep.
There are definitely better things than video games.
Yeah, real life. Life outside of all that.
So we hope to hear from you guys. Remember to keep following us on Instagram. We'll be posting as regular as we can. Our updates, you know, I've been posting in my stories a couple of my training things, which is mainly just walking around with a backpack on. I also film a lot of my dog, so hope you like dog stories.
They're just as part of the family as anyone else anymore.
I agree. Yeah. All right, everyone, thanks for joining us today on the Novice Hunter Podcast.
Okay, thanks you guys.
Thanks for listening, everyone, to the Novice Hunter Podcast. It was great having this conversation with Aaron. We have a lot of new guests lined up for you guys. This will be a little bit, like we talked about in the podcast, this will be a little bit harder to find guests just because it's getting into hunting season. So everyone's planning their big trips, but we're doing our best to find experienced hunters to help you be successful in the field. All right, everyone, remember to go and give us a rating and review on iTunes and on other podcast platforms. I want to remind you again that if you download the Anchor app, you can actually call in to this podcast and we can publish your call. You can leave us a comment. You can give us a question. You know, we can actually invite you on as a guest. So please, if you haven't already, download the Anchor app, call into our station. We will publish your comments. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.